The message that the Lord has for us today is entitled, Blessed is the Servant Warrior Who Meditates on God and His Word Daily. I have decided that we here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont, South Carolina, if we are asked to put on the full armor of God, that must mean that we are warriors. Not J. Harvey Milquetoast. Conformers. So when we suit up, each and every day, I want you to know that from now on, many times you'll hear me reference you as servant warriors. And I want you to think about that. During my senior year in high school, I was having struggles dealing with a lot of pent-up frustrations towards a lot of issues that were coming at me from all different directions. You don't have to be a high school senior. You probably have that coming at you no matter what age you are. But at that time, I even had a frustration bat that I would just take that bat and beat whatever was in front of me. I was so frustrated and had no release in dealing with that turmoil that was going on in my life. Could be schooling. It could be going off to college. It could be finances. It could be boyfriend, girlfriend, money problems, car not working, frustration with your job. It was all of that and then some for me. So my mother decided to take me to a place that taught TM. For some of you that may not know what that is, that's Transcendental Meditation, where I was given a mantra. Now, a mantra is really a meaningless sound. And I was supposed to sit silently and repeat that mantra over and over again with my eyes closed for 15 to 20 minutes in order to empty my mind and try to relax. Even though my body remained somewhat still, my mind would still continue to race, fighting this mantra, and my heart felt increasingly disturbed, empty, and darkened. After about 10 minutes, the first day I started this mantra, my mom stuck her head into my room and asked me in a quiet voice, "So how's it going? Is it helping? Are you feeling better?" And I'm glad I didn't have my bat. I barked back at her, "No, because you keep bothering me." And sometimes it's our parents that are the irritation. Make a long story short, TM and our worldly antidotes in dealing with frustration could not fill the void or calm the ever-increasing frustrations and anger building up in me in my life. If you're realistic about it, probably most of you deal with that each and every day. The following year, I asked Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, who filled my emptiness completely. He calmed my spirit as I filled my mind while meditating on Him and His Word. So I asked this question, which was actually, I was wondering to be the name of this sermon, to fill or not to fill the mind. But in actuality, that's no longer the question. For I learned that meditation was not simply a relaxation technique. It is infinitely more valuable and needed in developing our intimate relationship with God. What is meditation? Meditation is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. It leads us to the inner wholeness necessary to give ourselves to God freely. What most clearly distinguishes Christian meditation, which is the filling of the mind, it is the ultimate attachment to God. What is most clearly distinguishes the Christian meditation from its Eastern and secular counterparts, which Eastern mysticism and our secular society, what it tries to do is it tries to empty our mind. In other words, to ultimately detach us from the world. Do you see the difference there? Christian meditation is to completely attach ourselves to God and fill us, our minds, with the fullness of Christ. It has nothing to do with what this world tries to offer, but uses the same word meditation, but distorts what it is because the world wants you to empty yourself and Christ wants you to fill yourself with the fullness of who He is. Christian meditation is the continual focus upon obedience and faithfulness. Repentance and obedience are essential features in any biblical understanding of meditation. God gave such an instruction when He commissioned Joshua to lead the nation of Israel across the Jordan and into the land God had promised His people. See, I don't think many of you would probably have acquainted meditation with Joshua 1, 1 through 9. But I am here to say that probably many of the passages in Scripture lead us back to practicing biblical meditation. But we zoom right by it. Let's turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And let's read this passage together as it relates to Christian meditation. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I have given you to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, as I had promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your lives. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Three times he's about ready to say this next line. Be strong and of good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have I not commanded you, three times now, be strong and of good courage. Be not frightened, neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. May the Lord bless you exceedingly, heal you completely, and anoint you with His peace in the reading of His Word today. In times of meditation, God will speak to you not because of your special abilities. God will speak to you because you are willing to listen. We need to follow the examples of some of those that God had laid out for us in His Word. How about Isaac? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there were camels coming. Genesis 24. How about the Psalters? Many passages in the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, Psalm 36, Psalm 119. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. When I think of thee upon my bed and meditate on these in the watches of the night, my eyes are awoke before the watches of the night, that I may meditate upon thy promise. How about Eli? Eli and the calling of Samuel in 1 Samuel. The Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" Are you a good listener? In order to be a good time of meditation, you need to be a good listener and say, "Here am I, Lord." So Samuel went out, and he laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood before him, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for thy servant hears." And how about Elijah, when he met God at Horeb? And there he came to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thy altars, and they have slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, God said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the earthquake and in the fire. And after the fire a still, small, quiet voice." And when Elijah heard the small, quiet voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and he stood at the entry of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." How about Isaiah? In the vision of God in the temple, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And after he stood, the seraphim, each of them having six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the thresholds, they shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And He said, Woe is me. The prophet said, Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims to me, and having in his hands a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin forgiven. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me. Do you know that you do not have to be like Isaiah did, where it took a coal to touch your lips to have you forgiven and all your sins wiped away? In fact, that's already been done for you by Jesus on the cross. You no longer have to go through that. It's already been done for you. In your time of meditation, God, I believe, if you're willing to listen, will say, Who shall I send and who will go for us? Into our community here in Piedmont, in local missions, in overseas missions, in going out to the rest homes, in going out with the outreach team to the laundromat. Who will go for me, God is saying to you. And I would say, as a Christ-like believer, your first word should be, Here am I, Lord, send me. Jeremiah, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as if it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in. I cannot hold in saying and proclaiming the name of God. Even Jesus, in feeding the 500. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. Daily, we need to seek out. We need to be still. We need to listen quietly. We need to just be in a state of perpetual commune, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. In our passage for today, Joshua's commissioning provided four important enablers that are required of every servant warrior to be strong and courageous. Did you hear them? I hope you heard them. You can write this down. One is, you have to be willing to come into God's presence. Meditation requires coming into God's presence. Number two, listening and meditating on God and His Word. When God speaks, meditate on what He says. Come into His presence. Listen and meditate on God and His Word. Number three, believe His promises. He says, be strong and courageous. Those are not empty words. Those are words that are given to you as a promise from the living God who made heaven and earth. There is nobody else that I could put my trust in any greater than my Savior. Believe in His promises. And number four, be careful not to veer to the right or to the left, to obey and do all God commands of you. That's what Joshua did here in those nine verses. Seeking a familiar friendship with Jesus, meditation allows us to sink down deep into the light and the life of Christ and become comfortable in that posture. Doing so creates the emotional and the spiritual space which allows Christ to construct what I call an inner sanctuary in our hearts that is brought into all we are and all we do. In turn, this will allow the ever-present teacher, Jesus our Lord, to lead us into righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He said, you read that in Romans 14:17. He will lead us into righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what I lacked my senior year of high school. I had no righteousness. I had no peace. I had no joy until Jesus came into my life. Meditation is the one thing that can sufficiently redirect our lives so that we can deal with human life successfully. Thomas Merton, a monk known as Father Lewis, a writer, a poet, a theologian, he wrote this: meditation has no point. It has no reality unless it is firmly rooted in life. It reminds us of the Lord's mighty power, allows us to be in our right mind by putting on the fullness of the mind of Christ. So when you hear me and you hear the words to fill your mind with the fullness of the mind of Christ, this is what we're talking about. We are to do the opposite of what this world is doing to conform us to its distorted and darkened image. In order to be conformed to Christ's likeness, we have to be not conformed, but to be transformed in the renewing of our mind, to be filled with the fullness of the mind of Christ, and sends us into our, allows us then to go out into our ordinary world with greater perspective, insight, instruction, guidance, and balance. William Penn, an English writer and religious thinker belonging to the Religious Society of Friends and founder of the Providence of Pennsylvania, wrote, "True godliness does not turn men out of the world, but enables them to live better in it and excites their endeavors to mend it." In a purely physical universe, meditation is viewed as a religious form of psychological manipulation in order to drop our high blood pressure and relieve our tensions and get in touch with the subconscious mind as a totally human experience. But in a universe created by the infinite personal God, who delights in our communion with Him, meditation allows us to have, it allows us to have a divine human encounter with the One who calls us His beloved. Why would you want to empty your mind into space when the divine God, Creator, who calls you beloved, says, "Come and meet me there and fellowship with me"? As a believer in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we have a part of the universal priesthood of God, and as such can enter the Holy of Holies, and we can converse with the living God. But we need to pray. We need to pray for the desire to hear His voice and the grace to do so. Otherwise, what's going to happen? We'll give up. We'll give up. Seeking and receiving that gift of grace is the only thing that will keep us moving forward in our inward journey. The greatest German philosopher and theologian of the Middle Ages, and one of 36 that were credited as the doctors of the Catholic Church, Albertus Magnus, also known as Albert the Great, made this profound statement: "The contemplation of the saints," oh, listen to this, "the contemplation of the saints is fired by the love of the one contemplated, that is God." If you do not practice Christian meditation as a spiritual discipline in your daily life, you are robbing yourself of the joy and the richness of contemplating the living God. Focused contemplation can be sanctified by the Lord through our imagination and be used for His good purposes in our lives. Using our imagination during meditation, it is vitally important for us to be thrown into dependence upon God and seeking to think God's thoughts after Him, to delight in His presence, to desire His truth and His way. C.S. Lewis said this, "The imagination helps us to taste and see the goodness of God, the brightness in what he calls the shadow lands." Dr. Kevin von Hauser, research professor of systematic theology at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, made this concluding statement in his lecture entitled, "In Bright Shadow." C.S. Lewis on the imagination for theology and discipleship. Yes, I do like reading this stuff. He said this, "Disciples need imagination to stay awake to the reality of what is in Christ. To be in a bright shadow is to live in the shadow lands as people with eyes of the heart that are enlightened. They are alert to the mystery of the grace in the mundane and awake to the God in the ordinary." In other words, you never want to go back. Disciples may live in the shadowlands, but we walk as children of light, as He is in the light. To live as a disciple is to live in the bright shadow of Jesus Christ. Awake! As Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." We need a sense of balance in our lives, an ability to be at peace through the activities of the day, an ability to rest and take time to enjoy beauty, an ability to pace ourselves, a time of biblical imagination, a time of odum sanctum. Dr. Deviney will love me for that, which means in Latin, a time of holy leisure. Each of us has been given a divine commission to obey God and faithfully do His will. With the Lord's enabling, we have been given a calling. There is good reason for you to be strong. There is good reason for each and every single one of us to be strong. God's promise of sure victory. This is right out of Joshua 1:1-9. God's promise of sure victory. God's word as our safe guide. And God's presence as our sustaining power. If you want to make your way prosperous, if you want to have good success, you must follow God's commands. If you want to know God's commands, well, you must listen and meditate on His words. But the first step towards true success begins when you come into His presence with a humble and a contrite heart, allowing His light to shine in and through you, and just be still and know that He is God. Reverend Dr. Alexander White, moderator of the General Assembly of the Free Church of Scotland in 1898, wrote this, "The truly Christian imagination, it never lets Jesus Christ out of her sight. You open your New Testament, and by your imagination, at that very point in time, you find yourself as one of Christ's disciples, right on the spot. Can you imagine seeing it? You're sitting at His feet." In your bulletin today, you'll find an insert that I hope will help you learn to meditate by meditating. Please take the time to read it and to put it into practice. Take your time and be patient with yourselves. Like all training, the discipline of meditation takes time to learn. But you know what? It's worth it. Meditation, biblical meditation, is not a single act, but a way of life. Let us all commit ourselves to the Lord to come into His presence daily, to read His Word daily, to listen, filling our hearts and our minds with Christ, and meditating on God and His Word. Then, go forth being careful to obey and to do all God commands you as His light as you go out this door. That's the shadowlands of a darkened world. If you have a decision to make today, please come forward. Allow me to pray with you today. The Lord loves to hear the prayers of a repentant soul. You come.